What's Universal Time? Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting President Obama to deliver a historic speech to the African Union. President Obama ends his two-nation, five-day trip to Africa with an unprecedented address to the African Union headquartered in Addis Ababa. Mr. Obama Monday discussed the conflict in South Sudan with regional leaders. In talks with Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn, the president acknowledged a frank discussion on human rights, where the government has complete control of parliament and the media.
In a global economy that's increasingly driven by technology and the internet, continued growth in Ethiopia depends on the free flow of information and open exchanges of ideas. I believe that when all voices are being heard, when people know that they're included in the political process, that makes a country stronger and more successful and more innovative.
Mr. Hailemariam said Ethiopia is committed to improving human rights and good governance. Turkey has called for a meeting of its NATO allies Tuesday to discuss threats to its security following last week's deadly attacks in the country. On Monday, the U.S. said it's working with Ankara on a plan to clear Islamic State insurgents from northern Syria. A U.S. official said the goal is to create an Islamic State-free zone to ensure greater security along Turkey's border. But U.S. spokesman John Kirby said, despite Turkish media reports, there is no decision made on creating a no-fly zone over northern Syria.
There's no imposition of a no-fly zone, and we're not considering one. But what is under consideration is, you know, deepening cooperation with our Turkish allies to counter ISIL in northwest Syria. We're going to continue to talk with them about how to do that.
The U.S. is concerned creation of a no-fly zone to halt Syrian government air raids in the region would draw U.S. forces deeper into the four-year conflict to topple President Bashar al-Assad. Ankara has also agreed to allow U.S.-led coalition forces to use its air bases for airstrikes on insurgents. This is VOA News. The United States issued its annual human rights report Monday showing widespread human trafficking is helping fuel vast fortunes on the world economy, leaving millions exploited. Secretary of State John Kerry calls the exploitation modern slavery, brutalizing girls and women into prostitution, forcing many into low-wage jobs if they're even paid at all for their work.
And by issuing it, we want to bring to the public's attention the full nature and scope of a $150 billion illicit trafficking industry. And it is an industry. We want to provide evidence and facts that will help people who are already striving to achieve reforms to alleviate suffering and to hold people accountable.
Among the nearly 190 ranked governments on combating human trafficking, the U.S. moved Cuba, with whom it has renewed diplomatic relations, off its blacklist onto a watch list to see whether its island neighbor acts to improve its human rights record. The report also elevates Malaysia, which Washington has included in a prospective Pacific Rim trade agreement, to the watch list. Secretary Kerry sets out this weekend on a trip to the Middle East and Southeast Asia that will take him to Egypt, Qatar, Singapore, Malaysia, and Vietnam. His first effort will be to promote the international nuclear agreement with Tehran. He will take part in a Gulf Cooperation Council meeting in Doha to try to ease concerns in the region about the deal. The Sunni-dominated Gulf countries are alarmed of Iran's regional ambitions now that global sanctions are to be lifted. In Burundi, the parliament sat for the first time Monday after President Pierre Nkurunziza won a disputed third term in office in last week's election. Main opposition leader Agathon Rwasa said he'll play the game despite boycotting the polls. Mr. Nkurunziza's bid was criticized as unconstitutional and provoked violent street protests, a refugee exodus, and attempted coup. Meanwhile, UN electoral observers in Burundi say last week's vote there was not an inclusive, free, and credible poll. The observers said the election was marred by a lack of freedom of expression and the press. A terror attack in India's Punjab state has left at least 10 dead, prompting authorities to increase security along the Pakistan border. Officials say 3 to 4 heavily armed men dressed in army fatigues fired on a bus from a stolen car, then headed to a police complex in the town of Dinanagar, opening fire as they stormed the building. Commandos and police reinforcements engaged in a nearly 12-hour gun battle that killed all the attackers. China's benchmark stock market in Shanghai fluctuated from negative to positive territory in trading today after losing 8.5% Monday, the sharpest one-day decline in 8 years. World markets also fell on concern about the state of China's economy. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Bate in Washington. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. President Barack Obama addresses the African Union today, Tuesday.
This is also an opportunity for us to agree on how to manage or confront the challenges that now face us, particularly on radicalization and extremism, but also terrorism that is a menace, not only in the region, but globally.
Erasmus Mwecha is the deputy chairperson of the African Union Commission. South Sudan says it wants peace, but peace that is durable and owned by the people. Zimbabwe's MDC changes its position on participating in future elections. And Nigeria's president visits neighboring Cameroon tomorrow, Wednesday.
The president has embarked on this tour to neighboring countries, made up of Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, in order to generate support and build a solid alliance. The
Shehu Garba is the senior special assistant on media and publicity to Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari. Guinea-Bissau Minerals will submit a new environmental and human impact study, and the U.S. vows to win the fight against human trafficking. Those stories plus Marco Oman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. U.S. President Barack Obama, who is visiting Ethiopia, will address Africa today, Tuesday, from the headquarters of the African Union in Addis Ababa. Mr. Obama will be the first U.S. president to do so. African Union Commission Deputy Chair Erastus Mwecha says the occasion will provide an opportunity for Africa and the United States to further strengthen their cooperation in confronting radicalization, extremism, and terrorism.
As you know, Africa and the United States held a summit last year. President Obama hosted this summit in Washington, and at that summit, quite a number of areas were identified to strengthen cooperation between the U.S. and Africa. And, of course, Africa Union Commission, as the executive arm of the Union, is looking at how to push this agenda forward. So that is one aspect. The second aspect, between U.S. and Africa, we have been cooperating in a number of areas, like in the area of peace and security. As you mentioned, we have the Al-Shabaab, we have issues in South Sudan, we have U.S. was quite instrumental in Mali, and in other conflict areas. And so this is also an opportunity for us to agree on how to manage or confront the challenges that now face us, particularly on radicalization and extremism. But also terrorism that is a menace, not only in the region, but globally. And the third aspect, he has been a champion of power programs, particularly infrastructure. And Africa is very much in demand for green economy. There are opportunities for investment in that sector. And of course, the highlight, the summit of all this visit will be, he will address the continent from the African Union Conference Center on Tuesday.
And I want you to talk about that. The president coming to the African Union headquarters, this is going to be the first time, is that right, for a sitting U.S. president?
It's the first time a U.S. president is coming. I must say that under President Bush, he did, of course, elevate the relationship between the African Union and the U.S. by appointing a special ambassador to the African Union. And of course, President Obama has taken that notch higher, because we have had high-level consultations going on between the African Union Commission and the U.S., and now he would be coming and will also be having bilateral discussions.
Erastus Mwecha is the deputy chairperson of the African Union Commission. He was speaking with me from the AU headquarters in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. South Sudan's government says it wants an end to the country's civil war, but only through peace that is durable and owned by the people. Information Minister Michael McQuay says the government believes negotiating peace is a process and not an event. The next deadline set by the regional group IGAD for President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar to reach a deal is August 17. Speaking in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia on Monday, President Barack Obama said the warring parties may face further international pressure if they do not reach a peace agreement by August 17. The United States and the European Union have already imposed sanctions on individual commanders from both sides, and they could increase their sanctions. Information Minister McQuay says those clamoring for immediate peace should exercise patience.
Well, the president is talking about peace for South Sudan, and it's just the same as the government and the people of South Sudan are yearning for. So we have not much to say, but the most important is that the people of South Sudan need peace, and the peace that is needed should be a durable and lasting peace, a peace that is owned by the people of South Sudan. This is what the people of South Sudan want, and this is what the government is working for.
You said the president is working for peace and the government of South Sudan is working for peace. Yet it seems that there is frustration in their yearning for peace.
I think it is true that we are all yearning for peace, but what type of peace do they want and what type of peace do we want? We are for a durable and lasting peace, peace that is owned by the people of South Sudan, peace that will last. We are not here for a temporary peace that will be signed tomorrow and tomorrow it collapses. This is the difference between us and others. And this is the situation in which we are in South Sudan. We want peace that is owned by the people of South Sudan.
So what sort of peace that is owned by the people of South Sudan?
Peace that is owned by the people of South Sudan is peace that upon which the people of South Sudan will be in agreement with.
Does that mean President Salva Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar can work together in a kind of a united government? Is that the type of peace?
Yes, what I'm saying is that it is a peace that will be acceptable to both parties, peace that will be acceptable to the people of South Sudan because they are the people who will implement this agreement.
Mr. Minister, you keep saying the people of South Sudan. The people of South Sudan want peace. They want this war to end. I'm saying...
Yes. And until now, I say the people of South Sudan want peace.
So, therefore, would the president and former Vice President Riek Machar agree to work together? Because I think that's what the people want.
I think that is not the question because they had agreed a long time ago that they will work together.
So, why haven't we ended this war?
Well, there are people who believe that peace negotiations is an event. But to us, peace negotiation is not an event, but it is a process. And if it is a process, then definitely I'm seeing no reason why should others become so impatient like that. These are people who are for a fragile peace for South Sudan.
Now, look ahead. Now, the next round of IGAD-sponsored talks are almost here in Addis Ababa. What should the people expect from your government?
As I stated earlier, whenever we go to Addis for peace talks, we go with the hope that we will come back to our people with peace. But, of course, peace does not come from one side. It comes when the two negotiating parties, when they agree. And as such, the government will still go back optimistic with the hope that the other party will come with the same spirit so that we agree and we reach peace. Because peace does not come from one side.
Michael McQuay is South Sudan's information minister. He was speaking with me from the capital, Juba. Before going to Ethiopia, President Barack Obama addressed the Global Economic Summit in Nairobi, Kenya, which was attended by some Zimbabweans, including Tawanda Chikozi. He tells Marvelous Nyahui of VOA Zimbabwe Service that his team plans to explore some of the business opportunities discussed at the Nairobi Summit.
We took a look and tried to put Zimbabwe on the map as entrepreneurs from Zimbabwe, particularly when we're having a panel discussion with people from Google, Facebook, Amazon, as well as Uber. One of the key things that we raised to them particularly was to say in most of these support systems that they are providing for Africa, Zimbabwe is always left out. So we put it to them to say what does it take for Zimbabwe to be included as well so that entrepreneurs in Zimbabwe can benefit from such initiatives and no longer have to be left out all the time.
Were there any Zimbabweans that actually presented at this conference and also how were they received?
We had Chakunda Chingonzo, who was a 22-year-old tech entrepreneur from Zimbabwe. He was actually one of the most favorite panelists because of his age as well as because of the country that he comes from, Zimbabwe. He was on the core panel with people from Google, from Facebook, from Amazon, as well as from Uber, which are very well globally recognized brands. And he did very well to represent Zimbabwe and to represent the entrepreneurs that were there as well to support him.
Do you think you'll be able to have an opportunity to utilize some of the information that you actually learned at this Global Economic Summit, looking at the state of Zimbabwe's economy and also the relationship between Zimbabwe and the U.S. itself?
We definitely will have more opportunities associated with the summit.
Tawanda Chikozi is one of the young Zimbabweans who attended last week's economic summit in Nairobi. He was speaking with Marvelous Nyahui of VOA Zimbabwe Service. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, July 28th, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Let's give a shout-out to listeners on our affiliate Radio Banga, FM 96.5 in Bong County, Central Liberia. Daybreak Africa time, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari will visit Cameroon tomorrow Wednesday to hold talks with President Paul Biya of Cameroon. Since his inauguration on May 29th, Buhari has already visited Chad and Niger, two other neighbors of Nigeria that, like Cameroon, have been targeted in cross-border attacks by the Nigeria-based jihadist group Boko Haram. Shehu Garba, senior special assistant on media and publicity to Nigerian President Buhari, says the purpose of the visit to Cameroon is to build a strong regional alliance to confront Boko Haram.
The president has embarked on this tour to neighboring countries, the Lake Chad division countries, made up of Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon, in order to generate support and build a solid alliance against the menace of the Boko Haram terrorists that are currently ravaging havoc in the countries of the region. In his first week of assumption of office, if you recall, in Niger and Chad, he recalled to Cameroon was called off because of the rather urgent call he got to be present at the G7 meeting in Germany. And so the visit to Cameroon was delayed and it was rescheduled until after the fast, Ramadan fast, which ended last week. And the president is now ready to go to Cameroon.
Shehu, does it seem to your government that Boko Haram is challenging the new president, Buhari? Because it seems that the attacks by Boko Haram have been on the uptake.
Boko Haram is not just challenging President Muhammadu Buhari. Boko Haram is an international challenge. Now, no one country can, as you can see, it's a cross-border. And the establishment of linkage, they claim that they now are linked to the ISIS, complicates matters not only for countries in the Chad Basin, but the international community as a whole. And as for the domestic situation dealing with terrorism in the country, as you are aware, there has been a lot of pressure put on Boko Haram themselves, traditionally based. Don't forget that at some time in the past, they had a territory that they called their own in Nigeria, the Sabisa Forest and all of it. And now that the heat is on them, they've scattered all around. And it's like the mission of many individual members is to cause harm, create damage wherever possible. As you can see that the character of the suicide bomb, it doesn't have any character. There's no definite shape or definition it has. These attacks happen in markets. These attacks happen on most Muslim places of worship. It happens on churches, Christian places of worship. These attacks happen just anywhere. So it's like people who are going down want to go down with just everyone.
President Buhari was just in the United States. Is your government encouraged by the president's meeting here with President Obama in terms of how it relates to the fight against Boko Haram?
Absolutely so. Absolutely. It couldn't be better. The outcome has been acclaimed not just in Nigeria, but all across the globe. All the objectives set by President Muhammadu Buhari before embarking on the visit have been achieved. All the doors that were shut against Nigeria in terms of diplomacy, they have been unlocked. And going forward, we expect that yes, it's well between Nigeria and the United States.
Shehu Garba is the senior special assistant on media and publicity to Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari. He was speaking with me from the capital, Abuja. Guinea-Bissau Minerals will submit a new environmental and human impact study to the Bissau government in the coming weeks. A study, they say, will address how the mining company will address any potential challenges. A company spokesman, Armando Conte, told Ricky Stryak they are aiming to start exploration of the phosphate mine in 2017.
This is what happens in Kusi. Dragnet has already started arresting innocent people who didn't have anything to do with this, including soldiers and family members.
When you say people who weren't involved in it, what do you mean? Do you have information about family members being detained?
Yes, it is, tangible information of family members being arrested who were related to the alleged coup makers.
Is there concern in the following week that the backlash will continue, that the arrests will continue?
Yes, we do. And knowing him and the regime and how you see what will happen, what you do when you attempt this, you know. So, but we just go back to the same thing. We just always try. We have always reminded him of how he came into power. And don't ever rule out that some forces, you know, will attempt to do what you did to come into power. But yes, the Dragnet, we are very, very, very concerned about this Dragnet, you know, that has already been unleashed, you know. And so that's why we are not just going to sit down and let it unfold in front of us without resistance. So, you know, we are planning on the usual way of how we protested, you know, barbarism, you know, for the last many years. So we're going to protest it, yes, internationally, in fact.
As a member of the diaspora, how are you and other diaspora members going to protest this?
Right now, we are planning to organize, you know, like simultaneous organizations in the U.S., the U.K., in Scandinavia, possibly, you know, in Dakar, you know, just to show our, you know, our disgust.
Do you know when these protests would take place?
Yeah, it's in the making. So we wanted to coordinate it, you know, to really, you know, like attract international attention, particularly, you know, African parties, ECOWAS, AU, you know, other international organizations, the UN, to really know what is really happening. And that tentatively, you know, we are saying the 26th, you know, it's not, you know, confirmed yet.
When you mentioned ECOWAS, I saw another prominent member of the Gambian diaspora. He was in the press saying he hoped Senegal would intervene in some way. And you mentioned ECOWAS. What is the responsibility of regional powers such as Senegal and the other ECOWAS leaders to oversee these investigations or make sure that Jame's investigations into the attempted coup are legal and adhere to human rights?
Yes, you know, that is our concern, because the vast majority of Gambians, or we call ourselves Senegambians, you know, that are very concerned about what happens, you know, in the region. These bodies can play a very significant role, you know, in preempting any of these, you know, barbaric behavior that he's been known for. This is not the first time, you know, like it has been attempts, you know, to really uproot his regime. You know, the terror, you know, that he unleashed was just abominable, you know.
That was Armando Conte, spokesman for Guinea-Bissau Minerals. He was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Bissau. It appears Zimbabwe's opposition movement for democratic change, of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, may have changed its stance about participating in elections. The party had said all along it will not take part in elections unless reforms are made in the electoral process. Party Secretary General Douglas Wanzura clarifies the party's position, particularly with respect to the 2018 elections.
The position of the MDC is that it is preparing for elections. But as you know, we will not participate in elections without reform. We are not waiting for those reforms to be put on the table for us to prepare. So the MDC is preparing for the 2018 election, well knowing that in the interim period, it will force the government kicking or screaming into implementing electoral reform. So we have begun our preparations to lay the groundwork for elections. But we are going to do these elections after the reforms. And we are confident that we are going to push the government to implement these reforms.
But what if you push and push, but the government does not make any reforms? Are you still going to participate?
In the program that we are embarking on, defeat is not on our agenda. In fact, we are going to force those reforms. It's not up to government to give us those reforms or not.
But in the event that there are no reforms, what happens?
There is not going to be an eventuality like that. It's not in our mentality to think of failure. We are not going to fail.
That was MDC Secretary General Douglas Wanzura speaking with Chris Gandhi of VOA Zimbabwe's service. The United States is promising not to give up its fight against what Secretary of State John Kerry calls the scourge of modern slavery. Officials released the country's annual human trafficking report on Monday, a report that's being met with some criticism. VOA's national security correspondent Jeff Selden has more from the State Department. At a State Department ceremony, Secretary of State John Kerry was blunt in his assessment.
The battle against money, it's a battle against evil. The department's 2015 report says human trafficking is a $150 billion a year industry that ensnares some of the world's more than 230 million migrant workers.
But it's a fight we absolutely have to win. It is a modern day human rights challenge of enormous proportions.
The report lists 23 countries as tier three, failing to meet minimum standards to fight human trafficking, including Iran, Syria, Russia, and North Korea. But there are questions about whether the report, in some cases, was too lenient. Siddharth Kara with the Harvard Kennedy School via Skype.
It's a little curious that after 12 years on Tier 3, Cuba is upgraded shortly after the opening of diplomatic relations. And Malaysia, which was on Tier 3 last year, upgraded one notch higher around the same time that the president's pursuing a fairly ambitious trans-Pacific trade program.
And even some of those honored by the State Department wonder why the U.S. and its allies haven't been more forthcoming with help, like in the case of Yazidi women and children suffering at the hands of the group known as the Islamic State, or Daesh.
Every time we raise this issue with the international community, they say the first objective is to defeat Daesh, and this will take a very long time.
Activists warn the longer victims of human trafficking suffer, the deeper the physical and emotional scars will be, making healing all the more difficult. Secretary of State John Kerry says the report should be read as a call to action. But he and others say while the progress has been inspiring, the fight against human trafficking is one that will last for some time to come. Jeff Selden, VOA News, the State Department.